I'm going to talk to you about HTML5 today, and HTML5 is awesome, as this picture of Marina Lawson shows you, which she painted for her father, Bruce Lawson, from opera. So HTML5 gives you the power to shoot Nazis riding a unicorn while you have a belly dancer helping you with that. I can't promise that you will do that at the end of the day, but we will get close. I'm quite sure about this. So what's this HTML5 thing about? I got 96 slides, 45 minutes. You all had your foods or your food coma, so I did fast so that you don't fall asleep. HTML5 is not HTML4. This is HTML4. We had to put all these things in there that browsers never gave a crap about, like these great doc type things up there that never got called, and the HTTP equiv and all these stuff. So this is what we had to do to tell a browser to have a heading, a paragraph, and a footer in there. And this is what we did for years. And these are the beautiful things we did with it. Websites. Awesome. Blue things that link to other websites. And that was the magic that was it in 1993, 1994. And it was magic. It was really awesome. I worked at radio back then. And I'm like, I can link to other countries without having to call them, without going to my BBS and typing in another number and these kind of things. So it's pretty awesome. Then we made it a bit prettier over the years, but we basically stayed with the same thing. We put like blue links in there that link to other websites. We had a few videos in there with plugins, and we had forms. Of course, not everybody had to make their websites prettier. That is the official website if you want to have a visa to come to, into America. And every time I feel that I'm not a good web developer or designer, I know that the government spent money on this, I know I will always have a job, no matter what I do. This is the beauty of the form that they have that you have to fill out, which is also very, very wonderful. And especially the width of these buttons. I just can't believe how people build these things. But that's the web that we have. And people think we can only do links and a bit of images. And images are hard to do and hard to maintain. So we do more blue links. And then we give people forms. This is the sign-off form of an unsolicited mail. You have to say no to all these brands that you don't want to have information from anymore. So that's the kind of internet that we're dealing with HTML4 and HTML3.2 and all these things. And of course, we thought it's a good idea to make the web a bit better. So we came up with HTML5. HTML5 simplifies the whole thing. We don't have a we don't actually have a doc type anymore that points to anywhere where nobody cares. We have a meta char set UTF-8 thing. And we have a few new elements. We have these H1 and P's. They just don't do it. Like, a footer should be a footer, not a P-class footer, where nobody knows what really it's supposed to be. So we came up with new elements. We have a header element, we have a section element, we have a footer element, and many, many more. We've got section, nav, article, aside. So instead of just simulating real things that we have in texts, we really have elements for them. Sadly enough, browsers don't do anything with them at the moment, but it still makes sense to put them in there to structure your things for humans to read. And we have new form elements. We now got email input, we've got color input, we've got autocompletes, and we have calendars. I don't have to write another JavaScript calendar. Whoever came up with time and date hates programmers. It's just like there's no sense to that whole thing. Why is it not 10 minutes to an hour and 10 hours to a day? It would be so much easier. But no, we had to do these calendars. We have pop-up calendars now in the browser without having to do it. Interesting thing about the color picker, that is Opera here. The only other browser that supports the color picker at the moment is the BlackBerry browser. It doesn't support anything else of HTML5, but a color picker. Why not? We have video. We now have video in the page. You just put a video element in there, point it to a video file, say controls, and you have these controls in the browser that are keyboard accessible. So finally, we have accessible video without having to go through like extra scripts to make screen readers understand that this is a video file and not just a Swift intro movie. We have canvas. Canvas is we put it in the page and we have a canvas. Well done. And that's all we have in HTML5. That's it. If you look at the specs and you look at the HTML part of the HTML specs, and it makes you wonder why all these companies get so excited about it, like Apple, HTML5 and web standards. Google released this 20thingsilearned.com book that explains you everything from browsers to HTML5 and why everything is awesome. And it's a really, really good book, and it's really nice. Facebook just announced the Project Spartan, where they said we're moving away from all these Flash movies and we're going into HTML5 games and HTML5 applications to get around some of the limitations that Apple have in their store, which is actually rather clever. But it still makes you wonder, like, why do they get so excited if it's just a few new HTML elements? HTML5 is more about using capacities that we have on the web for our web applications. That instead of simulating applications that we have on desktop, we really use what people have. And we had that before. This is Folding at Home from Stanford University. And Folding at Home is actually not me playing Iron Man and later on folding up my clothing, but it actually is analyzing the folding of proteins and what happens there. And this, the folding of proteins is the reason for things like Alzheimer's disease. You take people's hardware and they send you data and you can analyze these things. This is on PS3 right now. And we use the infrastructure that we have. So it's actually all about the metal. And it's about the hardware. It's about, we have these, I mean, I've got the Google Nexus phone, and that's twice as fast as the computer that I actually wrote my first websites on. And that's amazing that we have these things. And we use them for like applications, but we don't use them for the web. So HTML5 is about using all these really cool computers out there and these really cool browsers and building our applications on top of that infrastructure rather than actually putting everything on the server and putting a thin client of HTML for our users out there. And it's actually quite interesting to see how many out there aren't there. 10.2 billion Android devices. If you think about that. Is it 42.3 billion iPhones? And these are just two random numbers that I made up and showed you in a keynote style event. Because this is how most HTML5 talks happen right now. Like, look how many iPhones we have. Look how many Android devices we have. It's totally pointless. Of course it's good business to support different platforms. But it's not about that. It's about taking the web that we have and making it better. Because if you think about the web right now, it's just not there yet. I want the web to be like the newspaper and the Harry Potter books. Like the pictures move and the typography is beautiful and it actually changes things around when the story changes. I want interfaces to be like Iron Man. Why does my website not look like this? My screen is big enough. It can look like that. Why can't I use my mobile phone to control all my screens in my house and my car and my fridge? I could do all these things in the movies. Why do input devices are still staying the same way all the time? Why can't a keyboard change to the need that I have right now? On mobile devices, we have it to a degree. If I realize it's an input element, I get the input, I get the number keyboard rather than the other one. But we're still stifled by having a mouse or a trackpad or a keyboard. Touch interfaces go there right now. But I would like to give people interfaces that only have the buttons that they need at a certain time, rather than all of them and hope they don't get overwhelmed. And the other thing I want is thinking about 3D interfaces. Why not? Touching things and modeling things by really moving your hand around, good idea. You get always Minority Report, where you have like him moving around like this, and this was the future a few years ago. You do this all day long and your arms fall off. But it's Tom Cruise, so the interface is on this height, so we all could actually sit down. Anyways. As we only had HTML4, we came up with plugins. So we had Flash to make wonderful graphs, and we had Flash to make music and edit music, and we had Silverlight to also use maps and all these things. But plugins are annoying, because plugins means the user has to download them, has to install them, has to be allowed to download them and install them, has to constantly upgrade them, because they're the biggest security hole we have. And it's just patching the road, really. It's just patching the super information highway, or whatever we called it in the 90s. What I want the internet to do is like get this new layer of asphalt so you can actually really drive on it into the future, like German Autobahn, when you go like on like 240 kilometers an hour. And you can't do it because the road is good enough. And the internet should be good enough as it is, but we keep patching it with things and putting like hobbles in there. We should build the future of HTML5 on old and good principles. And one of them is that it's a World Wide Web. It's World Wide Web, not Welcome Western World or Welcome WebKit. It's anybody with any hardware from anywhere in the world should be allowed to get your content out there. It's also independent of operating system. It should not have to actually buy a new Windows to have HTML5. And it's also open. I learned everything by looking at source code of other people. Like in 1995, 1996, there were no books about JavaScript or HTML out there. You looked at other people's source code and messed around with it until you found out what happened there. And this is what we should still be doing. Which brings me to using the source. When you write something in HTML right now and you try to show off, make sure your code is beautiful. Your code is poetry. Your code is as much talking to your end users, not necessarily, but to other developers, as your design is. If I hire people, I look at their website and I look at their HTML. If an HTML5 demo is 3 empty divs, you might as well have written a Flash intro. That is not taking the world far further. This is not using open technology. And company support is there. The good thing is that the browser war nowadays is not the browser war we had in the past, where people reinvented random stuff and fought with each other over it. Nowadays, the fight is who implements HTML5 the best. And HTML5 has all the browser vendors in there, the body that writes HTML5. So instead of the W3C and the Ivory Tower writing some cool stuff and browser vendors, yeah, whatever, it's like, okay, we want to do this and we work together on this. And this is pretty sweet that we have that now. Windows just released that video of Windows 8, a demo, which is HTML5 applications. So I could write HTML, JavaScript, and CSS applications and install them as Windows 8 applications natively. And that is amazing. Of course, that pissed off immensely the Silverlight community, because they just also introduced the SkyDrive for Hotmail that actually uses HTML5 already, and the Silverlight community feels abandoned. But if you look at some companies taking HTML5, this is Nike. And this is not a Flash website. This is an HTML5 CSS3 website. You can view source. It's all sections and elements. And you could actually edit it around. You can save it to your own machine, try it out, which is probably illegal, but good fun to learn things from. And it's just beautiful. And this is what I want people to think about, that the web can be this rich and beautiful without having to go through a plugin. This is Nissan Leaf, this a year ago, I think. So this one, fast forward a bit, there was not much time. This is like all kind of SVG stuff, and I showed you in Firebug that it is. And what's really cool about this is it has this 3D view of the car. And this is not a plugin. This is not QuickTime VR or Flash or Silverlight. These are just JPEGs that get loaded in and pre-cached. This was on the wireless of our hotel room, so it wasn't really fast, but this is how beautiful it is. I mean, I bought 5 of them, and then I realized I don't have the money for them, so I got rid of them again, but it was just that beautiful. Disney just released a lot of like online comics in that format that is like side-scrolling and totally beautiful using HTML5 as well. So it's pretty cool when these old-school companies start embracing these technologies, in this case sponsored by Microsoft, but you should as well. We should just start adapting to change. The big thing about HTML and web development was always we had like the Holy Trinity according to the book of Seltman, where it was like JavaScript, CSS, HTML, which is good if you separate those three to write really maintainable code and good websites. But if you think about HTML5 and you read through the specs, you're sick enough for doing that, you realize that the markup, the HTML5 stuff that I showed before, is a tiny bit of the spec. A bigger part of the spec are JavaScript APIs, and the biggest part of the spec is actually how to write a browser or a parser to understand HTML5. And this is amazing, because now we can point to other browser vendors and say, like, dude, it's in the spec. Why did you write it differently, rather than, like, why don't you just support it? So we have the output software already in the spec, rather than just the spec out there that we should go for. And there's some general what the fuck in there as well, but we're fixing that right now. So in essence, we have JavaScript there, and it's to stay. So if you are a web developer right now, you learn JavaScript. And please look at JavaScript a bit, not only jQuery. Try to understand what an API does, how the browser does things, and then you can be an awesome web developer really easily, and it's not that hard to do. It's also part of a bigger world. It's the first step into a bigger world of technologies. I'm tired of just talking about HTML5 because on the back of that, with the same players and the same standards and the same standard body committees, we have so many more other technologies. We've got like CSS3, we have animations, we have hardware acceleration stuff, we have WebGL. These all things are not about HTML5, but they're the same technology family. So let's call it new technology or something, but HTML5 is easy enough. And the good thing is that with the technology that we have, there's so many good things in there. You can build so much cool stuff if you just start embracing it. Let's check the toy box that we have at the moment. This is c64superdefault.com, where you can drag a photo off your computer into this website, and it turns it into a C64-style image. So I dragged that in here for the Windows users. That was Finder. That is almost like Explorer, but beautiful. And this is what it turns it into. Totally pointless, but fucking awesome. I now can save this image, and I've got this cool C64 style image of myself on my hard drive. But what it really did is, like, I can drag and drop a file into the browser, convert this image into something else, and save it out into my desktop machine again without having to do any server-side server-side manipulation whatsoever. It's all in the browser, drag and drop. And you can use that now. These are the file APIs that we have. Media queries, there's going to be a longer talk about this, basically means you realize the screen size or the available screen estate and your website accordingly changes its layout. So we're going to have more of that later. I was bored in my hotel room the first time I went over to working for Mozilla, and they showed the Indiana Jones movies. I love the Indiana Jones movies, especially those maps. Because the music was copyrighted, so we had to sing it in ourselves. What that one actually does, it takes a video and makes it half transparent with CSS and overlays it over an animated Google map that actually syncs with the time of the video. So that's the kind of stuff I do when I get bored. The source code is on GitHub, and it's actually, this kind of stuff would have been like 2 weeks of Flash development beforehand. Nowadays, this is all in the HTML and a bit of JavaScript. And I had like the old scroller and going thing there. It's actually quite fun. This is interesting because there was a demo out there that showed you how you can use HTML canvas and video and take a video and actually put it into different little pieces. So what that person has done, he's done this free script and used it for his own website. So this is the music video that he has, and you have to put the puzzle together of the video while the song is playing. And when you manage to actually solve the puzzle in the 2 minutes that the song is playing, you can download the MP3 for free. Otherwise, you can watch the video again. And he just used something that was out there on GitHub for free and now promotes his music video that way, sent it out on a few, like, Dribbble or something like that, and lots of people started promoting his website that way because he used new technology out there. And it's fun to do, and it can be rather annoying if you don't solve it, but fair enough. History push state means that we can actually reload parts of the page without messing up the URL. The big problem is and Twitter had this problem, Facebook has this problem. You do a lot of stuff in the page and the URL never changes. So I copy and paste the URL into Twitter and send it to my friend. He's like, what are you talking about? It's a totally different website than the one that you have. With history push state, I can change the URL of the page right now without reloading the page, which is very, very powerful and fixes basically AJAX for us. SVG, scalable vector graphics, really old web standards, really, but allows you to build these like wonderful graphs and visualizations from data tables in the page. So these are all based on a table in the page that could come from your content management system. It's just a JavaScript you pop in, and you don't have to have any knowledge of colors like I don't. And just, it's beautiful. High charts go even further with that. They do animated charts in SVG, VML for Internet Explorer, and JavaScript. And this is exactly what a few years ago what we sold Flash with. This is like, oh, this is impossible on the web, and you can't do that with open technologies. That's why you need to buy this, server and all kind of stuff. And nowadays, in JavaScript with SVG in the browser, and this works in Opera, in Internet Explorer 9, in Firefox, and in WebKit browsers without a problem. And these are just, open source as well. Local storage. Cookies were the bane of my existence for so many years. Cookies are just shit. Like, not the ones you eat, they're really good. But the ones that you put on your website, because every time there's an HTTP request to your server, the cookies get sent. So if you basically put a cookie in there, every image that you load, the cookie comes with it. The syntax was completely moronic, they were just not fun. Local storage is now 5 megabytes of storage per domain that is just a key value store. You can store things in there. In Europe, we just got a new law that you have to ask the user if every cookie that you send can be set or not. Politicians came up with that clever idea. And, for example, Deutsche Bank had 200 cookies in one session. That's a lot of fun. So they would probably switch to local storage instead of cookies, which is good. Offline. You're offline all the time. You're on planes, you're on trains, these kind of things. With offline storage, I can tell the website which of the things should be cached on the browser, that if you start it and you're offline, you still have the information there. And that's great. I mean, what cool experience if you don't have to load anything with a wireless here going up and down. Same thing. So good opportunities there. CSS3, we're going to talk a bit about as well. You've got transforms, transitions. You've got like rounded corners, which was a pain to do before we had CSS3. border images, border radios. We got gradients. Gradients were always a pain to do in Photoshop and then optimize. In GIF, they never looked good. In PNG, they didn't work in Internet Explorer. In JPEG, they were always too big. It was just not fun. But nowadays, with CSS3, I can actually do box shadows and gradients without having to use any image whatsoever. And that's just beautiful. And fonts we saw about earlier, I can now actually use every font that I want out there on my website. And that's been something we wanted to do for years. Geolocation means you can actually tell the browser, find me, instead of having to fill in a whole form with all the address details. Why not? And the browser finds me with the Wi-Fi network that I'm on right now, and it works perfectly worldwide. WebSockets are a bit hard to explain, but basically they allow us to do thousands of player games in the browser without our server burning to cinder, because all the connections of the browser are actually done to the end users via the browser rather than going through an extra server and actually having a lot of load there. So instead of keep asking the server if it has something new, we keep a connection open and just send data through when it comes. But 2D is boring, so 3D is the new thing. Like every new movie comes out in 3D, even if it doesn't have a script, like Avatar. Oh my God, like Pocahontas meets the Smurfs. Like it really did not work for me, but it was 3D, so it's much, much better than before. Everything is better in 3D, well, almost everything. It's unfair, she tries. YouTube just released 3D movies, so now we have 3D in YouTube, so we can sit there with our things and look at them. And that is actually only with Firefox for some reason. I don't know why, but Chrome will probably do that as well, which is pretty sweet, but doesn't get me too excited. WebGL, on the other hand, is pretty cool. WebGL is OpenGL, which you do for 3D game development in the browser natively without having to do any plugins. So this is the body browser of Google, where you can actually browse through the whole body of the human being, much like you can browse in Google Maps. And that's in the browser, that is now on my MacBook Air, and the fan didn't go on, so that was really interesting as well. And they go wild with that. I mean, this is papets.com, small website about these like paper things you can put on your desk. And it's like a product view that is a normal image, and you can actually find out what the thing does, and then you can switch to the 3D view, and without having to load, have a plugin, without having to reload the page or go into another interface, it just loads the 3DS model and actually then has the WebGL model in there so you can see the product from all sides. And that, again, doesn't make my fan go off because it's natively in the browser. Google went completely nuts with the Three Dreams of Black video. That's basically a music video that's interactive in 3D. So you see that little round thing going there. It's probably too dark for it. But the whole music video is interactive. You can build your own animals and put them in there. There's an editor with it. So this is more or less the future of like online video, if you think about it. All these effects are live in the browser. They're real time. They're not in post-production in the video itself. And it's totally mental what you can do with that. But it's hardcore development, really. Other things that you can do, which amazed me, was that in JavaScript right now, I can get the orientation of a computer or a mobile phone. So this one uses 3D CSS trick to show you like a 3D interface on a mobile phone in JavaScript and CSS. And you can do little things with that, little games, and you can shift your laptop around, do things with it, and make it fall down and break, and it's all good because we use CSS. Madman Animation was at the Vendor Parts conferences and stuff. They got really excited about this, and this is pretty sweet. This is how it looks in Opera, which Opera doesn't do CSS animation the way WebKit and Firefox now does. So it's a website that basically has images and texts to it. But if you open this now in a browser that understands CSS3 animations, like in this case Firefox Aurora or Firefox 5 that you can have now as well, the same page looks like this. So you have a real animation like what you used to do in Flash with CSS and JavaScript, a bit of JavaScript, actually not much, but that's exactly the same page and the content just comes from the HTML. And this is just very impressive that you can do that nowadays. And animatable.com is the tool that they used to build it. So they didn't just do this as a one-off demo, but they built a piece of software that allows you to create these CSS animations without having to write them by hand. And that is very powerful because I can think, for example, of Flash banners completely vanishing that way, not being blockable at all. That's really annoying as well, but we will find a way sooner or later. Angry Birds was shifted over to the web by Google for Google I/O, so you can play it now in your browser. after people said for years, oh, you have to write native code for your mobile phone because Angry Birds is too hard to write on the web. And it's not. They proved it. It was actually pretty easy to do for them. This is wheelsofsteel.net by Scott Schiller, a friend of mine from Flickr, because, of course, a Flickr person would do a lot of stuff with audio, but fair enough. He documented it on his blog as well, so I don't have a screencast of that, but this is like a real-life mixing deck in the browser using CSS and HTML5. So you can load two different MP3s, you can mix them, you can pitch them, you can scratch the music. All of that is possible in these new technologies if you spend a few months and you're as sick as him. But it's just wonderful to see. It was so cool when you showed that to me for the first time in some pub in San Francisco. And I'm like, dude, write down what you've done here. Aviary is basically Photoshop in the browser. Why should I have to buy Photoshop if all I do is just crop some images from time to time? And Aviary uses HTML5 and JavaScript and CSS to allow you all kind of image manipulation in the browser. So is this just for the really cool kids out there? Is it only for the rock stars of this world? I always feel like rock star developer. I always feel like trash in their cubicle if they call me a rock star, just to prove that I am. And I say no, because you can all do that. There's help available for you. Because all of this stuff, as I said before, is open. It's open and it works for you. So there is Vidly, for example, for video conversion. Video conversion has a dirty little secret that people are greedy and can't actually agree on one video format. Like you need MP4 for iPhones and iOS devices, and you need WebM for Chrome and for Firefox and Ogg Video for Opera and blah, blah, blah. It's really annoying to make a video in HTML5 that works on every device and every browser right now. Vidly is a website where you can upload a video and automatically converts the video into all the formats that you need while you're uploading it. And you get an email when it's done and says, like, okay, you got this Vidly URL, which is much like a Bitly URL, and instead of sending you to a website that you clicked on Twitter, it actually sends you to the video in the format that where you requested it is the right format. So if I click on this vid link on my mobile phone, I get it in a format that my mobile phone understands. If I click on it in an Opera, I get it in the OGV version. If I click on it in Firefox, I get it in the WebM version. If I click on it in Internet Explorer 6, I don't get anything because they don't like HTML5. These are all the formats that it gives you. It basically supports all the browsers. It supports consoles like Nintendo DS with Nintendo Wii and all the mobile phones from Android, Apple, BlackBerry, Nokia, Opera, and so on and so forth. So it's an incredibly powerful little tool just to start with video editing or converting video to HTML5. Mozilla supports a product called popcorn.js and butterapp.org. So with that, you could then load an HTML5 video in. You get this timeline where you can sync content from the web with the video. So you can say, for example, okay, show a map of the location when he talks about Paris, or show my website when I talk about my website. And it creates then a button for you where you can send the URL to your friends and they see this interactive video web mashup without you having to code anything. PBS, for example, uses that right now to sync their timed comments with the videos of speeches in the House of Commons and things like that. It's pretty nicely done. HTML5 boilerplate is a zip file that you can download and you can start as your project. And that one actually does all the fixes for it that HTML5 needs right now to work. So Internet Explorer has this bug that you can't style HTML5 elements in it when you don't create them with JavaScript first because, I don't know. But HTML5 boilerplate has all these fixes in there. You start from scratch with it, and then you actually just can start your HTML5 system by just editing your texts, and it will work across the browsers. Modernizer is a JavaScript library that allows you actually to detect what the browser can do. So you put this in, and it puts classes on the HTML element when the browser supports all these different things like CSS columns and CSS gradients and so on and so forth. So instead of just trying to do these things and then failing, you can see if there's a class on the HTML element and then starting to do it, so then you know it will never give your end users something that doesn't work. Dive into HTML5.org is a free and open book about HTML5 that keeps getting updated when there's new technologies out there, so you can actually read it for yourself. And it's actually quite easy to understand. It's not only for developers. Everybody can read that. So don't think you need a training for HTML5 for designers. All of this stuff is in English, really, and not that much mumbo-jumbo that we had before. HTML5 Doctor is a blog that has daily posts about different parts of HTML5, really simply little nibbles and tidbits of information. HTML5Wow.com was this year's presentation at Google I.O. about the love of Google to HTML5, and it's pretty amazing. It's like they show all the things that they're working on at the moment, some things that we've done in Mozilla before and together with them, like audio APIs, creating sound in the browser, accessing music files, the beats per minute, these kind of things. And it's a really, really nice presentation to look through what they're up to. PhoneGap.com allows you to actually take an HTML5 element, page and a CSS and a JavaScript, and it then converts it to native code for iPhones, for iPads, for Android devices, for Palms, for Symbians, Migo and Bada, whatever that may be. But that means you can actually use the thing on the web and you can send it out as an iPhone app as well. Why should you not do that? It makes no sense to me that people just go for the iPhone app and then say, oh, it took us 5 months to bring it back to the web. We have a thing called Web of Wonder, which now is just turning into Demo Studio, where we constantly have new demos in HTML5 to show you what you can do and where you can go with this. And they're all downloadable as well as source code, so you can take a look at them. And for a few of them, we've written blog posts where we explain step by step what we've done with that. We also have a dev derby going on. So everything, every new technology that goes into the next Firefox, comes out with the next Firefox, we have a competition going on that people can show off their skills. And I interview the winners, and they get like prizes like a mobile phone or a backpack or something like that. So this month is CSS3 animation. Next month it's going to be HTML5 video. And it's always quite good because you can see the source code of these things as well and find out what's going on there. Now, I know that was a lot to absorb. And I know that it's hard to relearn and unlearn things. That's the main problem that you have. You're like, oh God, I've done this for years, this HTML5, so it would probably not be the right thing. Unlearning is much harder than learning, but it's time we actually make the web better and make the web more beautiful, and we make the web that super highway that we wanted to have in the 90s, which we still didn't have. And just listen out there and see what's going on and see what Microsoft say, what Google say, what Apple say, and also call out bullshit. You know, if somebody says you need my browser to watch my website, you need WebKit to see this website, this is the same mistake we did in 1997 with you need Internet Explorer 6 to see this website. And every web developer in here knows that we spend 80% of our time fixing things in that bloody browser nowadays. So I don't want WebKit to be the Internet Explorer 6 of 2015 if we just build things for one browser. It's a really bad idea. And I don't care if it's only for WebKit, only for Firefox, or only for Opera. Build it for all of them or for none of them. It actually does not make sense to force people to have a certain browser because they can't do it. So take the step. Just get out of your comfort zone and say, like, I'm going to try this. And dive into HTML5 is a really good start. HTML5 Doctor, HTML5 IRC channel, I'm there all the time. People are really helping you out. And I promise you that if you accept that challenge, if you accept the challenge to make the web better, use open technologies, to use beautiful things, you will have a really, really good time doing it. I was always like, oh, HTML5 is not going to work. And then I started playing with it, and I'm like, fuck, I can put like a video on top of a map. This works. This is so much fun. And it gets easier and easier the more you do it. I brought lots and lots of HTML5 stickers, so please bring those back to the office and leave them in places where people can't flee, like toilet roll or something like that, or basically just get it out there and get people talking about it. And I think I'm before my time, but that's all I have, so thank you very much.